You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'll be explaining how to handle life post-divorce, and I'll be exposing the three levels of change and emotion that are coupled with divorce and how you can overcome them tonight. You know, the first level of change in emotion that I've figured out that comes with divorce is the concept of devastating. The concept of devastating, because some of us find ourselves in a position after a divorce devastated. And there's three distinct levels. And I think it's interesting how when it comes to divorce, this is something that a lot of people like to compare themselves. And I think that you know what I'm talking about. It's one of those things that people compare. Like if somebody's had a divorce and they have a friend that's going through a divorce and the friend's not going through it as well as they were. Maybe they're more emotionally wrapped up. Maybe they seem to be more devastated, more at wit's end. You know, always going over there to their house and all the drapes are closed. They're in the room. They're still crying. They're hugging the picture of their wife or their husband in their lap that's still framed in the frame. And you're like, come on, get over it. I mean, you can get over this. It's been a year. And on the flip side, you'll see other people you know that just seem to be, I don't know, it seems lackadaisical, no big deal. Didn't bother me. And you're like, you're not dealing with the issues. But are they or are they not? And let's talk about those three levels of emotion, because I think when we determine the three different levels of divorce emotion, we can understand where someone's coming from and why they're acting the way they are. Because a lot of times when people go through divorce, they act crazy. They do crazy stuff. They get out of control. They do things. Or they seem to be really calm, almost non-emotional. It's like they have no emotion. And so there's these, I don't know, there's a yin and yang. There's various levels of feeling, emotion, the way they act, their outer emotion, their inner emotion. So let's talk about that first level, devastated. There are some people who, after a divorce, after they've been asked for a divorce, are completely and utterly devastated. And the reason why most of them are devastated and they fall into this specific category is because they were probably married more than 10 plus years and they didn't see it coming. They never saw it coming. And I know people that fall into this category that never knew it was happening. Now, whether or not they, I don't think they knew it at all consciously. They certainly didn't. They might have known maybe perhaps a little bit like subconsciously, but I don't even think then. I think it really never came to their brain that there was a possibility that there could be a divorce. And I have clients that have come into my office that they thought everything was fine. They had just gone on a trip. Everything was great. They were at home making dinner for their wife or for their husband. And the next thing you know, the spouse goes, you know, hey, I've had enough. And they go, what, had enough Brussels sprouts? Had enough wine? What happened? And they're like, no, I've had enough with this marriage and I want out and I want a divorce and I've had papers drawn up and I'd like you to consider signing these because I'm kind of just done. And I think in that situation, when somebody is completely blindsided by the choice of the spouse, this can be really devastating. Because it's one thing to know when something's going to happen. It's another thing when it's a complete surprise. But it's another thing when it's a complete surprise and it's completely devastating. I mean, think about it. How many of your friends have gone through a divorce similar to this? Because if you don't know it's coming along, especially if you're happy, if you're fine and dandy and you have no idea, that's a big deal. And there's a mega grieving process because it's almost like an abandonment. You know, divorce can feel like abandonment. And I know that a lot of people who are listening tonight have gone through the divorce process. Some of y'all are currently going through the divorce process. Either it's more amicable. Some of y'all are going through court, going through the court proceedings. And it's interesting how the court proceedings kind of make things a little easier to deal with because you get so angry at them. But it also seems like a wrong process. And I think divorce is one of those things that in life, we all like to be loved. We all, at the core, want to be loved. We want to be loved. We want to be cared for. We want to have someone there. We want to talk to someone. We want to share our feelings, our thoughts, our all that great stuff. And when somebody drops the bomb like that, after 20 years or 30 years of marriage, that can feel almost like you are paralyzed. Because it starts to make you question everything from the past. Like you start wondering if what was real, what wasn't. If you didn't see this coming, were there other things that were going on that you were completely oblivious to? To me, I consider that a devastating emotional place to be when it comes to divorce. The second level is depressed. The second level is depressed. If you were going to say 1 to 10, 1 being the easiest, 10 being the most devastating, you'd have to say the devastating is a 10. Okay? When the doctor, when you go into the doctor's office and they said, how painful is it? 1 to 10. And you say, well, that's a 10. That's devastating. Depressed is the next category. And I would say that's anywhere between a 5 and an 8. And it's kind of like you saw the writing on the wall. You saw the memo on the wall, but it was still sad. You're still upset by the loss. And it's an upsetting process. And it can put people into a funk, a depression. I mean, there are depressions that are, you know, that come in to someone's life based on a specific event. And that's normally what we see a lot. The loss of a spouse, the loss of a family member, a divorce. These are big deals. The loss of a child, even the loss of a career, loss of a job. And so when you're going through that depressed state through a divorce process or after the divorce process, there's no speeding up, I think, of the emotional scale. I mean, I really think that in all these situations, no matter where you find yourself or where a friend finds themselves, you have to analyze where you were, where you want to be in 5 years. But in the process, how to get there? There's a lot of grieving involved. There's a lot of being sad and allowing crying and allowing yourself to be emotional. Because one of the things that I've seen with certain clients is they want to hold back. They want to hold this back. And instead of being emotional and being honest and being frank with what's going on at that time, they hold everything back. And then later on, after the divorce is over, and when they should be kind of picking up the pieces and moving on, they're not. They're not. They're far from it because they never grieved. They never dealt with it. They tried to sweep it under the rug. They thought, okay, if I can just date other people and just not be alone and never come home to a house by myself, I'll get over it. This is going to be fine. But then eventually, they haven't gotten over anything. You know, the third category of the emotion and change coupled together directly following the I want a divorce is down. And down to me knows that you knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. Y'all were not working together. This wasn't a working relationship. There was a lot of problems and issues that could not be changed, that could not be fixed. There was no amount of therapy or coaching or ministry that could help this marriage. And so you knew that it was going to happen. You knew you weren't going to stay married. You knew that there was faults in the relationship. But you're down because, you know, at least to some degree, that other person was probably a friend. And you see them in a friend. But also, nobody wants a failed marriage. You know, nobody's out there going, yes, yippee, another failed marriage. And I think a lot of times we put that on us. We put that on us like a tattoo. Oh, God. Couldn't even get that to work. I got some serious problems if I couldn't even get that relationship to work. And so when the down syndrome when you're in that down response, I think it's more like you're upset about yourself. You're upset about not being able to pull it off. It's like in the other two categories, it's more like just feeling wounded or feeling abandoned and having to deal with the whole abandonment issue and the devastated position, having to deal with the abandonment, the devastation, basically the surprise of it all. But also think about it. That's a yo-yo of emotions. Because if you're in the devastated category, you are probably pretty happy with the marriage. So not only were you saying, okay, hey, I was pretty happy with the marriage, but this person obviously hated it, was so upset with it. And so I have to get off being happy. I have to stop being happy. I have to stop being here. I got to bring it down because there's no reason why I should be happy because they're not happy. And then I got to sit there and question why I thought this was working. Why would I think this is ever working? And then I have to wonder what was going on, or was I completely oblivious, or can I just not be loved? Am I such a person that is so unlovable and so unlikable that this person had to run away? When we return, I'm going to be explaining and examining these three particular levels. And also, we're going to start to get into my advice for recovering after a divorce, to getting yourself back, to finding love, and to turning your life around and getting what you want out of life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives of your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm talking about how to handle life post-divorce and exposing the three categories, the three emotional change categories that one can find themselves in during a divorce. You know, the first category that some people find themselves in is the devastated category. The devastated category is one where you didn't see it coming. You didn't see it coming. You were actually happy. The marriage was going fine. And all of a sudden, one night you go home to make dinner for your husband and he says he wants a divorce. And you're so blindsided that you say, did you want more peas? Did you want more wine? He's like, no, I want a divorce. And that can be the most overwhelming, stressful, between-the-eyes situation you ever had. And some people actually go through that when it comes to their divorce. Some people, the writing was never on the wall. They were never agreeing on divorcing. Some people didn't even know it was coming around. And think about that emotional roller coaster, not even knowing that this was coming down. How do you respond? How do you act? I mean, think about that. You're fine. Everything's good. You're happy. And all of a sudden, bam, they want a divorce. Well, you start second guessing yourself. What did you do wrong? What's been going on the whole time? And how could you be so far off emotionally in knowing what they wanted and what was going on in the marriage? And it's like you're too busy trying to get your footing, because it's like somebody puts you in a blender and you finally get out and you basically can't get your footing because you never expected this to happen. And I think when most people get married, they want to get married for a lifetime. They don't want to get married for 10, 15 years and have to go out there again and figure it out. Most people want to do that. And that scares people too. It can make them devastated that it didn't work out. But not only did it not work out, they didn't even understand why it didn't work out. They thought it was working out quite fine. You know, the second level of emotion that you can find yourself in after you've been told that somebody wants a divorce or vice versa is the depressed category. The depressed category. Because when you go back to the devastated category, I don't think that anybody asking for the divorce is devastated. I don't think that anybody asking for a divorce is devastated, because if you're asking for the divorce, you know it's coming down the pike. I mean, even if you had to, because the situation was so bad, I don't think that you'd be devastated. I think you'd be more depressed. And so I think that in these categories, the devastated category is the one with somebody that was blindsided, had no idea it was coming, was not the one to ask for the divorce. However, the second and third category, depressed and down, those two categories, the person could have asked for the divorce. They could have. Because you can still ask for a divorce, but be unhappy, be depressed about it, not wanting to, but you had to do it for the good of the family or for the good for your life. And so the second category is depressed, meaning that you saw the writing on the wall, but you're still upset of the loss. You're still upset because of the loss, and you have a grieving process. And at least when you're depressed, there's sadness, but there's a grieving process that there's kind of a path. There's kind of a set path, right? You can kind of see the pathway when you're depressed and it's just a depression that has been caused from an event. So in this situation, the event was a divorce. There's kind of a beginning of grief and crying and sadness. And then eventually you kind of work your way back up because you kind of go through the grieving process. You go through all the emotions. You kind of get rid of that baggage. And that's kind of the process that you go through, different from devastated, because the devastated process, they're still trying to pick up the pictures and pick up the pieces and all the remnants of their life because they don't even understand what happened. I mean, they're still trying to figure out why they got asked for a divorce. At least in the depressed category, you can begin to grieve and understand that, you know, this divorce happened or it's happening and that this process is going to continue. You know, the next level that you can find yourself in is the down level. And I think down means that you knew it was coming down. You knew it had to happen. You knew this was going to happen. It wasn't working. The relationship just did not have a chance. No matter what work, no matter how much therapy, how much counseling, how much coaching, how much ministry work, you know, maybe you went to your church, whatever, and got advice, and it still did not work. You eventually realize the writing on the wall, and it's almost, you both agree. I mean, for the most part, in the down scenario, you've both agreed that this is the right thing to do. And, you know, you're not proud of this because you're not proud of a failed marriage. And that kind of brings you down. But also the down feeling is just that maybe you feel like you didn't choose right. You know, maybe you could be looking at the time that you spent in the marriage and you wish you could get that time back. You know, maybe you're wondering if you're ever going to be happy. And so there's like different levels of thought here if you think about it. This is kind of deep. Because at the devastating mark, it's like you're just trying to be human again. You're trying to, like, be human again, be normal. Like, you don't even know who you are anymore. And a lot of that comes from the identity that you received or the identity that you took or the identity of yourself that you gave up for that marriage. The depressed, you're at a different level. Like, you're very upset and you're grieving. But yet, you know, at some point, things will, you hope, get better. When you're just down, and I'm not saying that just one way or another, but when you're down, you're not so depressed about the marriage itself. Like, you knew it wasn't working, and you knew that you two probably should have never been married in the first place. So it's not like you miss that person in that way. It's not that you feel like you're missing out, but I think it's more of an internal factor of not wanting a failed marriage, but better yet, starting to realize that you might not really know yourself that well. And I think, you know, when you think about these stages, and you think about these different levels that you can be at. Identity and clarity and personal understanding are a major part of all three. And there's such a major part because the more off we are sometimes with our own personal understanding, what makes us happy, what's going on around us, clarity of the situation. When we're off on that, we can be off on where we are in the relationship. And that can prove critical later on in a devastating experience. So as we go through these processes, all of this has to deal with is divorce, right? Life post-divorce. How to deal with life post-divorce. And this is a big deal. And I know a lot of y'all out there listening say, you know what? I'm just now going through this divorce and it's really hard. And some of you out there are just like, this is just unbelievable. I can't believe I've been in court for 2+ years, still battling this out. And I thought to some degree we were friends, but this is obviously showing the opposite. And it's a difficult experience because divorce is really one of the roughest things that somebody can go through. It's very rough because people don't realize how connected, even if it's not a working relationship, how connected and how codependent we can be. And when you're dealing with the devastated or the depressed or the down, all of these levels are intricate. And they make us question the relationship at one level, and they make us question ourselves at one level. They make us question everything. And as you know, anytime you start to question yourself on every level, what happens? In the beginning, there's more confusion. There's more anger, resentment, feeling upset, not knowing where to turn. The inability to see the forest through the trees. Wondering what will go wrong next. You know, and especially if you're in the devastated category, you got enough on your plate, you're very overwhelmed. We got to get you through this process and move you along to the depressed. Because basically, if you look at that too, these three levels are also three different emotional places that you can find yourself, and they're stair steps because it begins, you can see, even if it began with devastating, you go through devastating to depression, and depression to down, and down to solid, to you. And these are the process. And so sometimes if we start at the most devastating process, it takes us a while to come out the other side. It's a lot easier if we're down and the writing was on the wall and we knew it was going to happen and we're having to do some, you know, some self-help, you know, wondering why and trying to analyze why we went through a failed marriage and what does that say about us. That's a lot easier to get through and a lot more, maybe not necessarily easier, but a lot less time than it is to start at the devastating category and work your way through. And so when we return, I'm going to be talking about how to rediscover yourself. And the advice that you need to overcome this divorce and have life, a good life, post-divorce. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Earlier, we talked about the three categories, the three emotional categories that you can find yourself in after divorce, throughout the process. You know, that was devastated, depressed, and down. And now I want to talk about the advice. I want to give you some advice to get past this divorce, to have a life, a good life post-divorce, because I don't think that that's out there. I don't think that this type of information is readily available. And the first thing that you can do is to rediscover you. To rediscover yourself. You need to start a relationship with you. And this begins by discovering things about yourself that you didn't know. To plan and do things that you've always wanted to do. But you didn't do them because maybe your spouse didn't want to go. Your spouse wasn't into that. Your spouse didn't like it. Your spouse didn't want to do it. Think about it. What are the things that you've always wanted to do your entire life? Travel, events, whatever it is. What are those things that you've always dreamed of doing that you couldn't do it because your spouse didn't want to do it? Those are the interesting things. That starts with the rediscovering of you, because those are the things that you've kind of hidden away. Those are the things that you kind of pushed under the rug. You stuck in an envelope, you sealed the envelope, and you put it up on a bookcase somewhere, and it's over there collecting dust. And it's time to rediscover what makes you tick. I mean, is it that you've always wanted to go to Africa? Is it that you've always wanted to go parasailing or jet skiing or whatever it is? Begin to write up a list of the things that really make you smile. And even better yet, the things that maybe you had to put on the back burner because you knew that your spouse wasn't going to join, did not want to participate, thought it was a waste of time, was totally against it. And I think that's where you begin to rediscover yourself. And the cool thing about that is that I do not advocate jumping into a relationship with somebody immediately throughout a divorce process. But you know what? As you do the things that you like to do, as you rediscover yourself and find what makes you tick, you'll meet other people that like that stuff too. Huh. That's interesting. I do what I like to do. I do the things that I've always dreamed of doing. And as I do them, I actually like doing them. And guess what? I meet other people who like to do it too. And so we have something in common. Wow, Ashley. Man, that's amazing. Think about it. That's like 101 right there. But most people don't know that. Most people do all these other things to impress other people. And then in the end, they can't stand doing those things. They're bugged by doing those things. They feel like they're wasting their time by doing those things, but they're stuck. They're stuck because, you know what? The person that they met going to the clubs or doing this or doing that is not the person that wants to take nature walks. That's not the person that wants to get on motorcycles and cruise down to wherever. Cruise down to the hill country or cruise to the wine country or wherever, or go to Sturgis is not the person that wants to do that. And so if you like doing those things, it's kind of fun to do those things, because otherwise it's kind of like you're missing out on life. And, you know, I always believe that when things change and when one door closes, another one opens. But sometimes we actually have to open the door. Sometimes the door is right there and the door is like, hey, happiness and fun awaits, but you gotta open the door. You gotta turn the knob. You gotta put pressure and open the door. Otherwise, you're not gonna get through the door. Well, you know what? So be it. It's time to open that door and find the things that you want to do. And that begins by rediscovering you. Some people call this a bucket list. I don't like that word, bucket list. I don't like that phrase. I think it's it always makes me think about death, right? And I think that there's a new awakening. And I think if you look at the concept that life post-divorce is not the end of your life, it's life post-divorce, that you can take a new take on life. And that begins by doing what you like to be, by being honest about what you want to do, about stepping up to the plate and figuring out what you really want to do in life and making it happen. And you're the only one that can make that happen. You're the only one that can step up and say, I want to do this and I'm going to go do that. You know, the second thing that you need to do and that has to be done, and that's a really good idea to do if you're really caring about your future and where you want to go, is to work on you. So we rediscover ourselves and then we begin to work on ourselves. Because remember, you're a project. We're all kind of projects, right? We're projects that need love and nurturing. We need love and nurturing. We are people who love other people, who love and need nurturing and need to feel loved and to know that they're loved. And I think the most interesting concept of marriage and life post-divorce is when we begin to look for this nurturing constantly and always outside of ourselves. And that's where we go wrong. That's where we make a bad choice, because instead of looking within ourselves in the very beginning and nurturing ourselves and loving ourselves and getting to know ourselves and understanding why we make choices that we make and understanding why we are what we are and who we are and the things that we can focus on bettering and the things that we love about ourselves, when we focus on this stuff and we allow ourselves to love ourselves, we are a more interesting, more dynamic, more priceless commodity in the marketplace. And what I'm saying is this: if you love yourself, and you honestly do, and you nurture yourself, meaning you take care of yourself, take care of your health, you eat well, you take care of your body, you take care of your brain, you take care of your heart, you meditate, you take care of your hygiene, you care about yourself. And it's not just about you presenting yourself well in front of other people. It's because you have a respect for your own body, for who you are. And you have that respect, and that respect and that love and that admiration goes really far. Because, you know, it wasn't until I actually loved myself, and I went through a process to do this. It wasn't until I really, really loved myself and understood why I do what I do and got really connected with myself and understood on a lot of levels why I had made previous choices, why I had dated people in the past, why I had sabotaged myself when it came to certain things, and why certain things came to pass that I had hoped had not. When I was able to come to terms with all that and understand and forgive and allow to let go as well as to love, I actually met my husband. And it was interesting because I wasn't planning on meeting anybody at that point in time, because I was too busy rediscovering myself, loving myself, nurturing myself, and I liked it. I really liked it. Before, in the past, if I would have done that before, and any time I had ever tried to do that, I got bored of it, I got stressed out about it, and I had that cell phone in my hand at all times, hoping and praying that somebody would call me to get me out of this dungeon of getting to know myself. But now I realize that getting to know myself is the most important, most awesome part of it all. And when you're going through a divorce and you're rediscovering yourself and you're working on yourself, because right now you are a project, you are a work of art in progress. The work of art is not finished yet. We cannot hang it on the wall at the gallery, nor do we really necessarily want to ever hang it on the wall. We'd like to live and have fun and be an active work of art. But it's like, until we look within ourselves and allow ourselves to nurture ourselves, instead of leaping into another relationship. And I know a lot of you out there listening know exactly what I'm talking about. When you leap right into another relationship, you really do miss out on getting to know yourself. Because guess what? We hold on to that baggage and we don't necessarily internally grow because we're too busy focusing on that relationship that we're trying to grow. And not the relationship with ourselves, but the relationship with that other person. And so again, we put ourselves on the back burner, back behind door number 3. And we focus on door number 1 and door number 2 until the time comes where something bad happens to that relationship, and then we're devastated or we're depressed or we're down, and we do it all over again. And this cycle isn't a working cycle, and it doesn't really help us get to know ourselves, to understand life, and it doesn't allow for a lot of clarity. When we return, I'm going to give you more advice on how to deal with the divorce and how to get past the divorce, and better yet, how to have a great second life and how to enjoy life post-divorce. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 2 shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. Even if You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Life post-divorce can be nerve-wracking. How do you move on? How do you get past this divorce and be you? How do you get you back? And how do you find fun and excitement again? And how do you make life worth living? You know, we talked about the three categories, devastated, depressed, and down, and how all these different categories take either longer or a shorter period of time to overcome the devastating feeling, to overcome the grieving process, to get past it. And you know, sometimes dealing with divorce takes over every part of our being. You know, it's like we feel down and run down about the relationship not working. We feel upset and dejected about somebody that doesn't love us anymore. We feel overwhelmed that another relationship failed. We don't know what to do about it. We don't know how to pick up the pieces. We wonder which way to go. And so when you're going through this process and the divorce is already in the process, you're going through court, it's been fine, even for finalizations, even people that have gone through the final stages of divorce are probably still dealing with pain, sorrow, regret. And my advice for you at this point is that it's time to discover yourself. It's time. And a lot of times when a divorce is very painful and it's very hard, it honestly is because we haven't been dealing with a lot of things. We've been putting a lot into the relationship we were in and not putting a lot of stock into who we are. And I think that the more difficult the marriage to get over it is the more difficult it may have been to really know thyself. And it's hard because we can get wrapped up in relationships and become codependent on relationships because sometimes we never really had a relationship on our own. We never really got to understand what makes us tick. Why are we who we are? What really matters to us? What makes me smile? What makes me laugh? What makes me cry? And what do I want to do more than anything? What is the list of things that I want to do to get connected more with myself? And rediscovering yourself is at the top of the list, is to start that relationship with yourself. Begin to plan and do things that you've always wanted to do, that but you couldn't do it because your spouse didn't want to, your spouse didn't like that idea, and so you kind of put that stuff away. It's time to pull out that treasure chest, and let's get to it. It's your chance to shine, baby. It's your chance to do what you've always wanted to do. And I think that you have to look at this divorce as an opportunity to become more of you. Because I think for the most part, when people get divorced and it's very devastating, they weren't really living for themselves. They were living for their spouse. They were doing everything for their spouse and little for themselves. And I think we have to step back and say, okay, obviously I was doing all this stuff and I wasn't thinking about myself. But on top of that, I am so disconnected from myself right now. Now, whether or not you were ever connected with your true self is to be determined. And I wouldn't get down on yourself and say, oh my gosh, I'm not, because most people are not. Most people aren't. And it's time that I think it's time for you to open your eyes and get some clarity on who you are. And that begins by rediscovering who you are and doing the things that you love to do. And if that's going out there and sailing, getting some sailing lessons, if that's getting a bicycle and biking around, if that's going to the gym and working out, if that's going to Africa and seeing the elephants and going on safari and being one with some of these amazing animals that are so smart and endearing. And I think if that's something that you are wanting to do and you have the ability to do it, well, it's time to do it. If you don't have the financial ability right now, that is your goal. That becomes your new goal. I had someone come in here the other day. They had been with this person for 14 years, and that person wanted a divorce. And she looked at me and she said, you know, this is devastating. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing anymore. And I said, well, you've always been his wife. You've never been yourself. You've always been his wife. So what have you always loved to do? And it took several sessions to go through this. But once we got down to the bottom of it, we figured out exactly what she has swept under the rug for this long because he didn't think that was good for her. That was the right role for her. And she's having the time of her life right now. And she's having a wonderful time because she's actually able to identify what she always wanted to do. She's able to do that now. And she's singing in a choir and she's having some fun. And she's really getting a lot of clarity of who she is and what she wants out of life. And it's interesting because in the last few meetings that we've had, she's met some really amazing people by doing the things that she likes to do. And that's what I think is so interesting, is a lot of times when we're in a marriage and after it stopped working and there's a divorce, it's like we keep doing this thing, this routine. But it's time to get out of that routine. It's time to get out of that non-working, non-useful routine and find out what makes you tick. What are the things that you love the most that you have been putting away, that you have been hiding forever? The second thing is that you want to work on yourself. Remember, you are a work of art in progress. It's in progress. It's not finished. And you need to love and nurture yourself. And you don't want to go out looking for other people to do this right yet, because if you do that, you'll miss out on all that self-work that you need to dismantle the baggage and the luggage racks on the car, you know, the symbolic luggage racks on the car, you know, take the luggage out, throw some of it away, give some to charity, get rid of the Louis Vuitton trunks and move on, get to know yourself better. And you know what's so great about this process is that once you get to know yourself better, you get into another relationship and you have the wherewithal to know ahead of time where it's going. You won't be devastated. You won't be blindsided. And you know what? You won't waste any more time in a relationship that's not working, because you won't allow yourself to waste any more time because you love yourself so much that you're not going to allow it. You know, I ask you, if you check out my book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life, it's my third book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life, you'll get a lot of information on how to start loving yourself and how to begin the nurturing process, because this is a real process. You don't just sit there and say, oh, yep, gonna love myself today. Check mark, check that off, got that done. No, it takes a process and it takes a way of doing it. And there's like a daily process of how you deal with it, coming home from work, what you do about dinner, how you take care of social situations, how you take care of yourself. There's a checklist. And if you check out the 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life, you're going to find that checklist and you're going to be able to go through it. And this book really works for my clients who have gone through a divorce, because a divorce is an overwhelming experience. And in this experience, you need somebody on your side. You need a therapist and a coach that can understand you. And that's where I come in. You know, the next thing that you want to think about is that a real man or a real woman, and it takes a real man or a real woman to make monumental changes in their life, right? Because the divorce was just not one-sided. We've all aided and abetted in it to some degree, to some degree. Okay, they might have been 80%, you 20, but to some degree. And this gives us the opportunity and the time to uncover and appreciate the change. So it gives us the opportunity to uncover all these awesome things about ourselves and to appreciate ourselves and to make changes we need to and to embrace the things that are wonderful about ourselves. And it allows us to be ourselves, and it allows you to be you by being yourself for a while. It allows you to have this safe therapeutic haven, a safe therapeutic place, and a safe time, and it allows you for stability and allows you for the safety and the nurturing that you may never have had. You may never have experienced it. And so even though this is a process, and even though this can be devastating to you as an overall process, because divorce can, and divorce can be overwhelming, it's still a time and a place for learning, loving, and nurturing. And I think that there's other doors that are obviously opening. One might have shut, and one big one might have shut, but there are other doors to open. There are other times and places, and you have another life here. You have the chance to have a second life, and it's going to be amazing. And if you begin to be you, to work on you, and to rediscover you, you're going to unlock a lot of mysteries in life, but you're also going to unlock a second life that most people don't have the option to have. So you get the chance to discover yourself, to find who you truly are, to understand what you really want, to define those things, and to either decide to look for them or not, to rediscover yourself again for the first time for some, to rediscover yourself without the codependency for others. And for some of y'all, to begin to finally love yourself and to understand what makes you you, what makes you tick, and to find those things that you're proud of yourself. And it's amazing because it's going to give you back the self-esteem, and it's going to give you that clarity and that honest, objective ability to see yourself in the best of light and to know that you've done everything you can and it's time to move on. By the way, if you have any questions or you want to talk to me or you want to contact me, go to www.ashleyburgess.com. Go to ashleyburgess.com. Click on the contact page, fill it out, and I will contact you ASAP. Also, on the homepage, you'll find the other stations because I'm on Sunday through Sunday. So this show is on 7 days a week. Different shows, obviously, and I want you to connect with me 7 days a week and be able to hear what the show's about, be able to hear the subject matter, and allow it to help you find clarity and understanding in your life. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next, and Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in a three shakes.